All right, it's 97.9 The Box. Mad How the Morning Show doing it big in here.
What he said.
Yes, indeed. And we got a special guest, man. Super producer, artist, songwriter, Grammy Award winning. Rico Love is in the building.
They don't know.
Yes, indeed.
Rico, so let's go back. For the person who doesn't know Rico, first of all, give him the stats. Tell him the songs and the people that you produce for before we even jump into the interview.
Whenever you hear the term "turn the lights on" the record, that's how you know I wrote a song. So you can go back as far as, you know, I wrote the theme song for the Sex and the City movie. So when the first Sex and the City, when you hear it come on, Sweet Dreams for Beyonce, Daddy's Home for Usher, There Goes My Baby, Usher, Motivation, Kelly Rowland, Heart Attack, Trey Songz, Mary J. Blige, Mr. Wrong, 4 a.m., Melanie Fiona, Hello, Good Morning.
Diddy. It's not that he's capping, y'all. He's just telling you what he did.
What it is.
Telling you what he did.
It's just so many of them. You know, I've been blessed enough to have 35 hit records. I think 22 number one records. So,
wow.
They don't know.
They don't know.
Now, if you're so successful writing songs and producing, why even step up to the microphone? Because we all know that all the real bread is made for the cat who writes the song.
Because you know what it is, more than anything, I think, especially as black men, we gotta, especially in an industry of something that you love, you gotta take away money. You know what I mean? You gotta take away money because money don't, love isn't hidden inside of money. So when you love something, you care about something, you'll make it work for you. You know what I mean? And this is something that I felt like was innate. Like it just felt like it was supposed to happen the way it happened. I started off as an artist. That's how I started my career, was as a rap artist signed to Usher's label. So, as a matter of fact, the last time I was in Houston was performing on stage during the Truth Tour with Usher.
Wow.
Yeah, performing with Usher on the Truth Tour when we had Kanye West and Christina Milian in 2004 doing that tour. So I started off as an artist, and I think it came full circle when I did my label deal at Interscope. I did a 50-50 joint venture label deal at Interscope, and then labels started approaching me to do an album randomly. And I never said I was going to do a record. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Iovine flew me out to L.A. and said, yo, what's this I hear about labels trying to sign you? I'm like, man, how do you even know that? he's like, well, listen, you would be stupid to sign to somebody else after I just gave you all this money for your own label. Why don't you sign yourself to your own label? But I didn't want to force myself on the Interscope system that I just did the deal with.
Right.
But they was like, nah, man, if you got talent to do it, you're a superstar. Do it. There's a lot of guys out here who make records and they're not even stars. And y'all wonder why they don't stick around. And it's like, you're groomed, you're seasoned, you've been in the game. I learned from Usher, from Puff, from Mace, from Fat Joe. Like, these are my friends and my big brothers. Mm-hmm. So when you have it, you just go for it. You know what I mean? When people meet me and get around me, they don't wonder why I'm an artist after they get around me. They're like, it's just natural. I feel like homeboy should be doing this. So, you know what I mean? And I feel like that when you got that thing that's natural for you, and I mean that humbly, you know, but when you have something, you got to tackle, you got to go for it, and you got to take away the fact, oh, well, you make more money doing this? Yeah, but I'm going to keep doing that. I'm going to keep getting money. I'm going to get money in what I do here. And plus, you got to keep it taken into consideration. I own my record company.
Right.
So when you see artists, you know, a big-time artist, you got to realize they paying somebody. I ain't paying nobody. I'm paying me. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, it's a win-win situation.
Wow. How do you transition? You said you started off rapping. How does a dude get taken seriously? He's a rapper. How does he all of a sudden start singing and writing these love songs and stuff, and people start taking him serious doing it?
The thing about it is, a hit can't do nothing by no hit. They can say, I don't care who, a hippopotamus could write "There Goes My Baby." I bet Usher gonna sing it. It's just at the end of the day, you got it. Talent is talent, and in this game, they could talk about what they don't want to accept and talk about who's gonna do this and this person can't do this. But when you keep consistently making hit records, it just ain't.
And no one tried to tell you, because usually what happens, you get put in the box.
Oh yeah, they tell
and
me.
And the first thing they say, like, "Yo, Rico, you rap, you rap don't do kid. That. Yeah. You don't sing. You don't do the R&B.
Let me tell you how
crazy it is. Stay in your lane."
Yeah, I started off as a rapper. When I wrote the first song I ever wrote was "Throwback," and it's the 10-year anniversary of "Throwback." Of "Confessions" being released.
Right.
29 million albums worldwide. 10 million, 10.5 million in the U.S. And to be able to, first song I ever write, be a part of that project, it was like when Tim Duncan came and signed to the Spurs and won a championship this rookie year. That's how it felt for me. Mm-hmm. So I was like in the game, and people was like, "Well, he got lucky. He wrote that song for Usher on Confessions." Even though it was everybody's favorite song, "Throwback," and then I co-wrote "Seduction," and I wrote Usher's verse on the Confessions remix and all type of stuff like that. And they were like, "Yeah, you know, we'll see." And after that, you just after the label thing fell through and the artist thing fell through and didn't work out at the time, I just kept writing and kept working at it, and I taught myself how to sing because I was sending my songs for people to demo them.
Oh, you could already sing. You just can't teach yourself how to sing, can you?
No, you can teach. Like, what I say is this. If I could hold a melody, if I could hold a note, I can teach myself how to sing. If you can hold a note, some people tone deaf. You can't teach yourself how to sing if you're tone deaf.
Right.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But I had a tone that was decent. And I did it every day. Mm-hmm. It's just like somebody who got a cool, he can do.
You sound good singing, you know,
okay
singing your
singing.
Stuff.
I sounded okay singing.
Right.
And to the point where it wouldn't hurt your ears. But what I did was I just kept doing it every day for
practice.
Years. Since 07. You know what I mean? Just singing my own records, demoing my own songs. And then I just got really good at it.
Did somebody put you up to us like, Rico, you know what? I heard the little demo thing you did, won't you?
No.
Get serious.
Now, what happened was I was giving my if some people who could sing really good, but they're not stars on the mic. So I would have people singing my demos for me, and I would wonder why the songs wouldn't be in place. And I'm like, man, these songs are great songs. Why you want people not buying these songs? And I would realize you're not singing it how I need you to sing it, and that's the reason why you sing so good and you ain't on.
Oh wow!
Wow,
that's a hell of a remark, bro.
No, that's no shade. Some people really think I sing so good. Why doesn't it happen for me? It's some about a star. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Rihanna,
can you tell
Rihanna
a star?
Is a star.
How long does it take you to tell a story? Like, if I walk through this door right here.
I know it.
Okay, I'm going to walk through this.
This boy's stupid. This boy's stupid.
Watch this, though.
This boy's stupid. He walking through the door, y'all.
What's up? What's up, homie?
Nah, see, you tried then. You was trying. You know what's
Man.
Crazy?
It got to be natural.
Before you introduced him, you said, I knew he was somebody here. You know what I mean? Because he came in before you. I'm not saying you didn't have it. But I'm just saying, I knew, like, I don't know who he is, but he's somebody.
Yeah.
He got on workout clothes. You know what I mean? And he,
black on black. That's
me. You know what I mean? And you could just, certain things is just natural. And you could see it. And you
he ain't
just,
saying that you ain't natural, player. I want you to be offended by what Brother
I'm just
Rico
saying
said.
He walked in first.
I liked the song before.
Yeah.
But damn it, we giving it like 2 extra spins before the show.
But you know, you got somebody
like
Rihanna who people would be like, well, she can't sing as good as first. I like Rihanna's voice, but it's something about it is special.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a star in that. Mm-hmm. And some people, I know people who can sing circles around Rihanna, but they not stars.
That's right.
Ain't nothing you can do about that. You know what I mean? I know people who sing circles around me, but they ain't going to be able to do what I do.
Rico Love. It ain't capping. It's just his truth, y'all.
Yeah.
That's what we talking about today. Now let's deal with They Don't Know.
Yeah.
I love this song. But here's why I like the song, and it's going to make me look crazy. There's a part of the song. If you listen to the song, at first it seemed like you talking to this chick, and y'all got a special relationship. And everybody else don't know about y'all relationship, but she know about y'all relationship, and she stay in her place.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying, but she stays in her place. She know what that relationship is,
mm-hmm.
and she plays her position. She's a position player. She's not the number one position, and she knows that too if mm-hmm. you listen closely to the song. She's a number two position player, but she plays it well, and because of that, she gets the benefits of a number one, but she's not quite number one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, the part of the song that got my attention from the first time I heard it, and I don't know if anybody else ever said anything to you about it, so I can't wait to get
Nobody
into
has.
It. Really? So the point, he says on the song that he has a wife on the song, too. And he also goes on to say, hey, I share you with my wifey.
That was the kick. That was the... That was the, oh. all they hear is, oh, it's a side piece anthem. And I'm like, you didn't hear what I said. That
it's
was
not
the,
a side
right,
piece.
Right, right,
that
right.
Was the, it's love amongst everyone.
You know how
that's
when,
what I heard.
You know how when you watch the TV show, and you watch Scandal, and you're watching it, and then next you know, boom, that's the thing that happened.
Yeah.
That was my punchline.
Yeah.
And nobody, people.
No, you laughed like, after it. You
yeah,
laughed after
I
you said
we a family. So when I say they don't know, the song is not called She Don't Know.
It's
they don't know.
They don't know. It's
y'all
don't know.
Y'all ain't in the
so
mirror.
Y'all think this the secretary running around with me and wife, and this the family member. You know what I mean?
Man.
So a lot, I think people get so upset with it. I mean, obviously the song is a tremendous success, but at the end of the day, people got so upset. A lot of women were getting upset. Like, you promoting this? A girl hit me up on Instagram the other day going crazy on me. You promoting cheating? I'm like, first of all, we got to understand, especially about our people. Our people.
Right.
We make up our mind on something. Ain't nothing you could say. Like, it's like when they call in the radio and they got an issue, they not calling in the issue to figure out, a resolve. They made up their mind, and I just want you to hear me. I don't want to talk about it. I just want you to hear what I got to say. So that's what I had to respect and understand. Him. So I blocked her because she was talking crazy.
That's a good way to do it.
Now, here's the thing. When I'm hearing this song, I'm saying to myself, one, Rico's a pimp. True, for real. Number two, I wonder if this is him, somebody he knows, or something that he saw.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I speak only from experiences on things that
you don't have to say anymore.
You know,
I understand.
So, but what I can say this, what I can say is this. I actually,
JQ, you should appreciate this,
man. That's pimping at his best.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Listen, I don't want to ruin it for you. Can I not? I don't want to ruin it for you, bro. But I actually wrote the song as a metaphor, and a lot of people don't know that I wrote most of their favorite songs. So if you ever saw the video, for They Don't Know, right? It's a woman walking through this art gallery admiring a painting of me, and she's well kept.
Right.
This woman represents the Beyoncés, the Ushers, the Kelly Rowlands, and all this, because we keep them up, and when we write the songs. So when I was coming out as an artist, I didn't want people to think that I was one of these guys that's bitter, like, yeah, they need to know who I am, and they need to know I wrote all these hits. I was saying, they don't know, and that's fine. If you believe in that Beyoncé wrote that song, makes you love it, I embrace that. I'm not going to ruin that for you.
Okay.
They don't have to know. So when you at the end of the video, when I put my hand on her shoulder and she looks back and just in the reassurance that I'm there, it's just basically me saying, they don't know that I'm behind all these records. But if I wrote a song saying they don't know I wrote these songs.
This boy's a lyrical pimp.
Boy, that's
but
deep.
Listen, think about this. If I would have said, if I would have wrote a song saying I wrote all these songs, who wants to hear a song about that?
No.
So you had to find a way to make it relatable to people. So I said, why not use this mistress type idea? So when I say I share you my wifey, I'm saying when I work hard, my family got to deal with that. When I'm out on the road doing all this stuff, I got to share my life with my family. So that's what when people don't get. So obviously, do I agree with everything in They Don't Know? Absolutely. I agree with discretion. So don't think for one second that I'm not with that type of life, because I am all the way above that life.
Levels, it's levels, baby.
But the song isn't even really.
That makes me appreciate the song.
Every record I make is not gonna be about what's on the surface. Right. I wrote "There Goes My Baby" about watching a woman get dressed. That's what the whole song is about. It's just
there
about
goes my
okay,
baby.
There goes
that's
my
it.
Baby
Listen
is
it.
About.
Bet you ain't know it. I'll be checking you out when you be putting your heels on. That's why your body's so perfect, baby. How you work it, baby. It's really a guy is sitting there waiting on this girl to get ready. He's like, man, she taking forever. He look over and think, man, there goes my baby. Damn. I didn't realize how beautiful she was until just now waiting on her to get dressed.
Yeah, wow. We watch her putting them clothes
so
on.
You
got, it's a beautiful
you
experience.
Gotta start. Like, the thing about me is I'm a musician and I'm an artist who likes to make music that challenges the thinker. And that's why I'm going to always be around, like it or not, is because I create music from here and from here, not because from here. And I'm making the money symbol, everybody. Mm-hmm. Because when guys are going around trying to say they're trying to get a buck, there's no passion and there's no love in money. Period. Money
but you
don't
gotta
love.
Live, right, Rico?
You gotta live.
You gotta
make a.
You got. You,
when
you
I'm
gotta create, make because you making it.
Yes.
Somebody listening to you right now say that's easy for Rico
no,
Love to say because he's making
shit.
That money. He done wrote for
what?
Beyonce and
Usher. What?
He got
Let
that money.
Something.
And rich guys say that kind of fly stuff.
And I'm
stuff.
Glad you because I know you're playing devil's advocate. So I'm gonna answer this for you. If you remember, if you look back to where I started off making music just because I loved it. Obviously, I wanted to get money, but I was on the floor. Writing songs every day, the happiest I've ever been in my life. I still haven't been that happy, except when my son was born. But know how happy I was with nothing? I was enjoying what I was doing. So when I'm in the studio, I'm not thinking about, is the radio going to play this or say this? Is this business move going to be this?
That's
I'm
right.
I'm having fun, and I'm creating music. It's my passion. So the difference between a lot of these guys that fall off is they start only thinking money when they're creating their music. And that you got to understand is the times change. One thing that won't change is a classic melody. You put on a Stevie Wonder record right now, you're going to feel the same way today as you felt before. But it's some fluff music that's out right now that might be successful that you might think is working right now. But I promise you, and this is no shade to anybody.
Right. I feel what
you're
saying.
But I promise
you, you
and Jamie Foxx is one of my good friends. But I promise you, if you put Blame It On Alcohol on the club right now, niggas will look at you, they'll look at you like you're crazy.
Wow.
You know why? Mm. Because it's a right now song. Mm-hmm. It's a novelty record. But when you make classic music, and again, that's no shade to Jamie at all, because Jamie's a friend of mine, and I actually loved the song when it was out. But when you make novelty music, it don't stick. Now, Jamie got some classics. Now, I bet if you play Unpredictable, that's forever.
Right.
Yeah.
That's one of those forever songs.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. I see what
so
you're saying.
So what I'm saying is when I create music, I'm not thinking, oh, is this going? No, I'm thinking, how does it feel? Does it make me feel good when I hear that melody, when I hear that chord progression, when I'm in the studio, when people hear it, do they react a certain way, like, man, that's my joint? Or is that like a, oh, that's hot right now? Because those records die fast. Yeah. Right. If you don't got a million of those, you're going to fall off so hard.
You're right. You're right.
But one thing about substance is stick with you forever. I bet you right now, if you play Rihanna, Yellow Diamonds and the Light, it's going to feel good just like you first heard it, because it's just such a great song. Mm-hmm. But I bet if you play Cake, it ain't going to give you the same thing. You know why? Because it was a time for that. And please be clear when you hear me saying this. It's no shade. It's just honesty. And if anybody, you know, you'll admit it when you hear the song. You'll be like, Cake was last year. But I bet you We Found Love for forever last, because it's a genius lyric and it make you feel a certain way when you think about the song. Mm-hmm. When I'm making music, I'm trying to do that. And that's the only way an artist can really truly sell albums. You think Kendrick Lamar selling albums because people just, oh, he makes music that you care about.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying something that affects you. You think Drake is by chance selling albums because he light-skinned? Drake making amazing songs.
Yeah, right.
True. You can't deny that. Yeah. Do you think people really love Pimp C just because Pimp C talked that language that you was like, wow.
Yeah.
He's saying some real stuff.
Yeah.
Period. So at the end of the day, if your music ain't doing that, and then you focusing on making those fad records and that fluff fades so fast, I promise you. I bet you can ask a lot of guys. I ain't going to call out no name, but you can ask a lot of guys who out here doing those old school jam tours, and they be like, man, I'm so glad we had some good songs, because, boy, I'd be broke right now.
You sure right,
because
man.
We can do this old school tour
forever. That's right.
They don't know. Did you intend to put that out, or had you had it and you were going to give it to another artist?
I wrote that for myself, and that was my record. Everything that I did on my EP, I dropped my EP, Discreet Luxury, and I put it out. On August 27, 2013, I planned on it. I didn't start doing it until March of 2013. So it's not like I had this plan way before that.
Mm-hmm.
But every record that you hear me do is a record that I already have for me.
Do you know that they don't know it's going to work the way that it worked? When you're hearing these songs and you're writing these songs, are you saying to yourself afterwards? I understand you do what you do with a passion, but can you hear it and say, this is a special song? Yeah. Like, they don't know when you heard it. Did you say to yourself, this is a special song?
Yeah, I knew it was going to be a hit. But the same way, but it's not an arrogant thing. The same way, when I write a song for anybody else, I know it's going to be a hit.
What about Beyonce when you wrote for her?
I knew it was going to be a hit. I knew it was going to hit. I knew when Sweet Dreams, when I recorded it on her, I knew it was going to be a hit.
So what was the process? They called you? Beyonce people called you?
No, the process, I got to thank Michelle Williams for that. I did Michelle Williams' whole album, and people was looking at me crazy. Like, why are you working with Michelle?
For real?
Yeah, because I was up and coming at the time. I was up and coming at the time. She did an album called It Unexpected. I wrote and produced the entire album. It didn't sell big or nothing, but it was some great songs on it. So she went and played the records for Beyonce and Jay. And every record they played, they were like, who wrote that? And she was like, Rico Love. Who wrote that? Rico Love. Who wrote that? Rico Love. So Beyonce reached out and was like, yo, I heard all this stuff he did. Let's get him in the studio. And Beyonce came to Miami to the studio.
What?
Yeah, I'm not going to. She came to Miami. Wow. And the story for Sweet Dreams was, she flew to Miami. We worked. I wrote a song for her, so Save the Hero, which was on the Sasha Fierce album. She came through. The next day, she had to go shoot an American Express commercial for Ellen. I'll never forget. So she had to fly back private. The storm was so crazy that she was 6 hours late. So instead of me just sitting around doing nothing or going to the store, I said, well, since we waiting, let me write another song. And I wrote Sweet Dreams. When she walked in, she looked like Beyonce. She was going to the Jay-Z concert. Jay-Z was opening up the tour with Mary J. Blige in Miami at the American Airlines Center. And she said, I can't record today. You know, I got to go see Jay's opening show. I only got 20 minutes. I'm just going to come in here and just listen to some stuff. I played her Sweet Dreams. She looked at, Angie. She looked at Angie.
Cousin Angie.
And she said, how much time I got? Angie said, you only got like 20 minutes, B. She took off her earrings, took off her high heels. She cut Sweet Dreams in 15 minutes.
Get out! You just knocked this out to be recorded, man. One of those dramatic stories.
She recorded the entire song in 15 minutes. And if you listen, she didn't even have time to do the background. If you listen closely to the backgrounds on Sweet Dreams, I'm singing all the backgrounds on the hook. You don't even notice it because she put a lead on top of it. But I'm singing all the backgrounds. She didn't even have time to sing the background.
Dang.
Wow.
I'm going to have to go back and listen
That's
to that.
That's what a song does. When Ooh. She heard that lyric, when she heard the how deep the message of Sweet Dreams was, you could be a Sweet Dreams or a Sweet Dream or a Beautiful Nightmare. Either way.
That's my song, too.
I don't want to wake up from you. Whatever it is. It could be the worst dream or the best dream. Whatever it is, I'd rather sleep and endure the nightmare or the sweet dream. Whatever it is, I'm down with it.
Damn.
And when she heard that, she said, wow. That just described how she felt about Jay.
Wow.
And she went in and she did that. And what I got to, what I tell people constantly is, make the music that matters. Make people affect like that. Make like Beyonce is somebody who you gotta understand knows great songs. So if Beyonce hears your record and say, I gotta get in the booth and sing this right now. I don't care if I got take my heels off. I got makeup on. I got my head. When I tell you she's looking like Beyonce though, I'm talking about when she walked in. I didn't know how to stand or sit. I'm like, this is Beyonce right.
Right,
here.
Right, right.
And she came in there and said, let me take my earrings off and my heels off and I'm gonna sing this record. And she sang it in 15 minutes. Then he had time to do the back. She said, leave your background. Sound good.
What?
Damn. That's what I'm talking about.
From line, I'm flying.
So right now where you are at your career, so now you know you're going full-fledged with the singing thing. So right now, if we had a time machine and you could go back and take any Rico Love written and produced song and use it for yourself, which one would you take?
I would do Acting Up.
Hmm.
I know that sounds crazy. I got a lot of big hit. Acting Up wasn't even a hit.
Acting Up is what?
These be Acting Up, and these just be letting up.
Oh, man.
Because you know what a lot of people don't realize is that I sing, but I'm not a singer.
Right.
I rap more than anything. Mm-hmm. If you listen to my EP, like, it's more hip-hop influence, which is cool. But I'll accept whatever people say. I just get annoyed when people call me an R&B artist because I feel like that limits me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and I just make music. Whatever feels right and feels good to me. You got to understand, I did Ball for T.I. I did Ain't Worrying About Nothing for French Montana. Did Acting Up. I did Freaks for French Montana and Nicki Minaj. I did Hello, Good Morning for Diddy. I did a bunch of records that was big in hip-hop, you know what I mean, whatever. So with me, I just like making records. But if I could take anything back, I would have took Acting Up. Because crazy, right, shortly after we dropped Acting Up, Ross dropped These Can't Hold Me Back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it kind of got in the way of that, you know what I mean? So I was like in a position where I really loved that record. I thought that record was a message, and I thought it had substance because I wanted to say some real stuff in that record, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if I could take anything, it would be that. And I never intended that for myself. I did Acting Up for Yo Gotti.
So who influences you in rap? Since you say you are a rapper at heart, like who?
I grew up. Biggie has always been my favorite rapper, and Mace is my big brother. Like, me and Mace are really close friends. So I always feel like Mace is one of the illest rappers. You ask Eminem who his favorite rapper is, he tell you Mace.
What?
Eminem.
I never heard him say that one.
Yeah, Eminem. Ask him. Eminem. So thing about it is Mace to me lyrically was just always so amazing. He just has just a short-lived career in the game. And me and him, you know, he raised me in his game.
I just like his swag. It wasn't really, it was the way he.
But if you really kind of dissect the lyric, dissect what he's saying, it just was like, it's like Mace and Usher remind me so much of each other in the sense that Usher's one of the best vocalists of our time. But since he danced so good, people forgot how good of a singer he was.
Right.
Same thing with Mace. Since Mace was such a fly, flamboyant character.
You remember the fly, flamboyant.
You remember the lyric. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I do. You're right. It's
so
true.
That's why those two like are like some of my favorite artists. But Mace, Big, the whole Bad Boy movement, Jay-Z. Drake to me is one of my favorite artists lyrically.
Uh-huh.
And the singing that I sing and I rap, I knew that people would try to compare it. Right. You know, we don't sound alike at all. But I just made sure that I made my music opposite everything that he would do.
Mm-hmm.
So no sensitive records. My new single would be like, no, seriously, no shade to him because I really love his music.
Right.
But I made sure that I wanted to stay away from anything that I felt
in
like
would
be in his lane.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I felt the record that, oh man, I would say this, I'll write this, but I was like, that just don't fit me. I would rather be more aggressive. Like my new single be like, I'm just going crazy on him. I'm being real and being it's just raw. And I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you the truth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You're talking about people or you're just talking about
women? Like my whole thing, my whole message is towards women is just the harsh reality, the harsh truth. I'm like taking the super dark skinned man stance on things.
Appreciate that.
You know what I mean? So, you know, and I love and respect musicians. I love and respect true artists. That's why you'll hear me reference to Kendricks and Schoolboys and Drakes and you know, guys like that who really make substance. Who not talking about the same thing every record.
Mm-hmm.
Who respect the process of creating records as well. Because a lot of these guys is like, yo, send me a beat with a hook on it and then I'm gonna rap on it. And then they wonder why they don't live on the radio. You understand? What? You got to work hard. It's hard work if you living off shows.
Okay, well, what's your biggest song that you wrote and what's the fastest? You like, it
the
took you like.
Record?
Yeah,
I think
and
my
it was
biggest hit, I don't know, man. Just a Dream for Nelly sold 8 million singles.
God dog it.
The single?
Just a Dream.
That was a big one, yeah.
Yeah.
And how long did it take you to write that?
It didn't take no time. But let me tell you why it don't take time. It took me like 20 minutes to write the whole song together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Me and Nelly wrote that together. I wrote the verses and the hook, and, you know, we came up with the how we was going to flip the hook arrangement and everything together. But what it is a person will sit in a room and write a song for 4 hours and then not realizing that you always go back to the first thought you had when the music came in.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I trust myself. So that's why it takes me 15 minutes to write a song. So when people hear me say that, I don't want you to think I'm arrogant. Like, yeah, it took me 15 minutes. It's nothing. No, I trust myself. So as soon as I hear boom, 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 hello. Come on, man. I'm going to go in the booth and I'm going to lay that down. That's where you might be like, hello, good morning. Seems too simple. Let me keep thinking.
Okay, they don't know. So
they don't know. As soon as it drop, they don't know. Right away.
Just like that.
Right away. I didn't know what I was going to say about the they don't know, but I said, let me figure out how I'm going to flip this in a clever way and be deep, you know, and I just came up with it kind of naturally. But I started off as an MC, so that it just...
It's natural.
You're on the spot. You just got to go for it. So the thing I want people more than anything to take out of my process is that I really love it and I take it serious. So when people, I hosted a BET Music Matters event and they said, yo, by the way, you know Rico Love don't have to be here. He got money and this, this, and that. And I got up and I said, yes, I do got to be here. And that's the problem with kids, especially black kids, is we make them feel like you get rich or you die trying. And that ain't the key. We supposed to love something.
Right.
If you don't love something, what you here for? Because what if they took the money out of music?
Why wow. Are you doing it?
What if they said ain't no more money in it?
Mm-hmm. Would you what still you be here?
Do? Would you still do it? And if you wouldn't, I don't got no respect for you. Because you're not teaching nobody how to love something. And that's why we killing each other every day, because we don't love nothing. All we love is money. And if we love nothing but money, if every rapper is telling you all I care about is getting money, and then we seeing people dying, and then these same rappers is getting out here at the funerals seeing why these kids dying. You why they dying. Because you teaching them how to love nothing but money. We ain't teaching them how to appreciate and value anything.
Yeah.
And then when somebody get in here and ask them a question, because you're supposed to ask the questions about the money and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We get in here with our shades on, and we like, yeah, you know, I'm getting money. And now a kid on the street, he like.
I feel that's real talk.
What? I don't care about music, the business. When guys tweet me, they don't be like, hey, man, Rico, I want to, you know, this is my passion. They be like, yo, Rick, I'm trying to get this money.
You're right.
And I'm like,
they don't care about the process.
No, really, you think it's that simple?
Yeah.
That's why
you should go back, because people don't understand. Because I looked at the bio, which was cool, because I didn't know this part about your life, that you were going to school. And while you was going to school, on weekends, you would go to ATL.
Yeah, I went to FAMU. I would catch the bus. They gave us these credit cards in school. First of all, you know when you get to college, those little scam visa people give you a credit card.
Right,
you know,
right.
You're 18 and you don't need your parents to sign off on it now.
Right.
And I got a credit card and it had $750 on it, and I had one for $500. And a $35 trip to Atlanta and $35 back. That was my every weekend. I was using those credit cards to go to Atlanta to get on. I was sleeping in studios. I was you know. Sitting under Jagged Edge and trying to make it happen. You know, just like living in their house, sleeping on their floor. I got with the corner boys. I slept on their couch, slept on their floor. When they kicked me out of school, I slept in the corner boys on their couch in the front room for 3 years.
So what made you why you didn't give up right then? 3 years.
That's something I love. That's why you can never understand that if you only talk about money. Because after 2 months of doing it, guess what you would have did? Gave up when it wasn't no money.
Right.
It's but what's the guy? But there's that one guy that said, "But man, I'm getting older. It don't look like it's happening for me, Rico."
DMX's first album came out. He was 29 years old, 30 years old. First album. First. His first album.
Mm.
So you want to make excuses or you want to make history?
It is.
I think that's a good way to end that.
Yeah.
You just got something you got to say, Mac.
I love
what he said right there. Rico, you know what? Sometimes you're going to you interview somebody. And it's, you know, you interview them, they got their hot song, and you're like, who's cool? He's got a nice song. We talk to him, and you go away. I actually feel like I actually get something out of this interview when you walk away and I don't see you. You understand what I'm saying?
I appreciate that.
I actually felt like this person has something to truly contribute to somebody as it relates to the music business. And if they heard some of the things you were saying, hopefully they develop that passion. That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the true love, if they really want to do this and not look for somebody just to give them the easy way out, if they have a passion about doing it, nothing will stop them from living their passion every day. So I actually appreciate having the opportunity to sit up here and meet you. And it's beyond the song now. It's just knowing that this person, this is a cool-ass cat who really His passion is why he is where he is. His strong hustle and not giving up. And I hope that's what people get out of this. It's cool, the diamonds, the way, you know, the lifestyle. But I really appreciate the passion that you came and you talked about and you shared. I hope somebody actually gets something out of this.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that. I thank y'all for having me.
We can't stop, though. Before saying album, EP, give them all the details. Give them that real quick,
though.
Yeah,
the EP is out on iTunes right now. And April 8th, the EP will be available exclusively at Best Buy. So, you know, we got so much demand on it being on iTunes that people were like, you know, we need physical copies. So, because it's a 6-song EP, including They Don't Know and my new single Be Like, is going to be available April 8th on iTunes, exclusively at Best Buy. And also, I'm dropping off the video April 8th, Be Like, which is my new single that's getting so much feedback and love. And I can't wait till you guys get it, you know, really start rocking with it. So, you know, follow me on Instagram, I am Rico Love. Follow me on Twitter, I am Rico Love. And look for the album Turn the Lights On coming later this year.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rico Love.
Right here.